Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am Terrell Jackson, and my brothers are both out today. So I brought along Brianna Cabral.
Hi.
What's going on, Bri?
What's going on, Terrell?
Like we don't know.
I know.
If you are listening to us now live, we want to thank you for joining us. Later on, we will open up the phone lines so you can contribute and share to today's topic. And if you'd like to, I'm going to try my best to look out on Twitter. But if you'd like to comment on Twitter, you can tweet us at our handle, which is at DDJ Foundation. That is at DDJFOUNDATION, DDJ Foundation. And you could also call in. The number here to call in is 323-203-0815. Again, that is 323-203-0815. So why are you looking at me like that, Bri? So go ahead and call in, tweet,
yes,
contribute.
Yes.
Be a part of the show.
I love talking to people.
Yeah, we know. Go ahead, Bri. You can read the disclaimer.
We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives, have been impacted by it, and have learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Do not rely on us.
That is correct. Do not just rely on us. It is Wednesday, of course, because our show's on Wednesday, but it's Wednesday, January 15th, 2020.
Halfway through January.
It's going fast.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yes, it is.
That's a little crazy. All right, Bri, well, how was your week?
Really?
Yeah.
I think you know how my week was.
No, not really.
Do you want me to share or do you want me to tell you how my week was?
Both. I don't know how your week was.
Week's kind of been good, but a little lazy.
Lazy?
I've been a little lazy. It's been hard getting up for school, getting them ready.
Anything exciting happened this week?
Not really.
That's a no.
No.
Okay.
Last week there was a lot of excitement. I'm still dealing with those dramas, but we don't need to go
okay.
there.
Well, my week,
yes.
My boy started basketball.
Yes,
so that
I know.
Was exciting.
Yes.
So that was something new that happened this past week.
And you love
they
it.
Started their season.
Coaching season.
And I also had baseball tryouts.
Coach.
So that was
yep.
another thing. Kids have been busy. I guess.
Back
what
to
else?
Our weekends being full.
Back to the weekends being full.
Yes.
And the kick of the new year. So, like you said,
yes.
we're halfway through January.
Yes.
Excited for 2020.
I am too.
Happy it's here.
I'm very excited for 2020.
I feel like we're missing something though. Something happened. It'll come to me later, but whatever. All right. I guess that's pretty much it on that front, huh? I can't remember. Something happened.
A lot's been happening.
No?
But we're not going to talk about that here.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for that. That doesn't sound too exciting, but it is what it is. Today's topic.
Let's dive right in.
Today's topic. Today's topic, we are going to discuss how people individually handle death and does it change your perspective?
Yeah, not so much how you handle death when it happens, but more on how you handle it long term and how it affects you in your life. 'Cause we've both experienced death differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we've experienced them.
Handle it differently.
We do handle it differently. Is that because of how we experience death? So ironically, we both, you know, you lost your mother and I lost my father. We were both 19.
Mm-hmm.
And our parents were both 39 at that time.
But, well, let's back up a
yes.
little bit. I'm going to ask you some questions.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if I ever, I don't know if I even know this answer.
Okay.
What was your first experience with loss? How old were you?
My first experience with loss, I was really young. It was my great-grandmother. Mm. So it didn't really, I don't really think it affected me because.
But you remember it?
Not so much. What I remember is. So our culture.
You said your great-grandmother?
My great-grandmother. Yeah, it was my great-grandmother. Both my great-grandparents. Both. My grandfather's mother I experienced and my grandmother's.
Which one was first?
Ooh, I think it was my grandfather's mother.
Okay.
But I was young. I was under 10. I barely remember
your grandfather,
it.
Your.
My mother's.
Vovo?
Both my, yes.
Vovo.
Vovo. Vovo, yes.
A little Portuguese in
Vovo.
There. Still don't have it right, but
no, yeah.
Okay,
Vovo.
So your mother's father's father,
mother.
You said grandmother. Okay,
I don't really.
How old do you
I don't
think
really
you were?
Remember that. I had to be between 6 and 10. I don't okay. really remember that. I remember visiting her.
Okay,
you know, and her being in bed all the time, but I don't actually remember like the day she died or
the did it have an effect on you?
I don't think so. No.
So not
really that I'm aware of. I think I was too young at that point.
Okay. So then let's
same
talk
same with
about
my grandmother's mother. I don't believe I was there when it happened. I think I was already living in California, so I wasn't actually at the funeral for that.
So it didn't really, no.
But I knew her, you know, I spent a lot of time with her as well, but it didn't have the same effect.
Okay.
I think my biggest, like, first loss was my dad.
Okay.
You know. I mean, my cousin died. Malik, you know that, when we were teenagers, that was...
Before your father had
before
passed?
Before my father. That was shocking.
How old were you then?
We were teenagers.
That's a different one. That's different, too, because that's more right around your age, right?
Mm-hmm. That was different because he died in a drive-by. So that was like...
So that's...
That sudden. Was shocking. That was like, what the hell is happening here?
How'd you deal with that?
Again, because I was living in California and Boston, it wasn't, you know, I really didn't have to deal with it. I wasn't there for the funeral.
You've had, now that I think about it, you've had
a lot of death in my life, which is why we handle death very differently.
That's very, yeah, I'm starting to see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that.
So how old were you about with Malik's passing?
Teenage years.
And were you here or were you back in?
I was here. No, I was here.
You were here.
Mm-hmm. But it was it was a devastating thing that happened to our family.
Okay.
But being I'm not so close to that side, my dad's side of the family, I don't think it, you know, really affected me as much as it affected them. It
didn't have the same kind of
impact. It didn't have the same impact.
Okay. So then, I guess the next
one. Shoot to 19.
That's your.
That was my father.
Father's passing.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about that a little.
So my father, he had ALS, and he had it for 7 years. So right when I was going into high school is when I found out he was sick, and I realized that he was going to
die. So 32 was when he?
I don't do math.
32.
30s, early 30s.
He had it for 7 years.
Past yes.
When he was 39.
About 7 years,
about 32,
yes.
31, 32.
So for me, I...
That's so young.
So young. That's my age now. So basically, he died at my age now, which is young. Like, I haven't even lived.
Yeah. we'll get to that in a second, but okay. Go ahead. So 31, 32,
So we found out he had ALS, and I basically just did research and learned about it because I had never heard of it.
How can I ask questions?
Sure.
How were you when you found out? Because your relationship with your father's... Yes, go ahead.
Initially, when I found out, when I read up on it and found out what it was, I was, you know, heartbroken, of course, but at the same time, it was kind of like, well, you've never been around for me most of my life, so I don't really care. Like, whatever.
So your relationship with your father he wasn't present.
As much.
Correct?
No, correct.
He wasn't present, so you didn't have.
So my attitude was like, whatever, so you're sick and. You know, eventually you're going to die, but you haven't been a part of my life, so why should I put any energy into this anyways?
So a little anger.
A little anger. Definitely anger.
Obviously.
Like, you weren't there for me, I'm not going to be there for you.
Okay.
So then my mother said I needed to seek therapy, and I needed to deal with those issues because long term.
Was this when you found out he was diagnosed?
Yes.
Okay.
She did not want me to have that burden when he was gone. He was going to pass away and be gone.
And
she didn't want me
right.
to live with that. And she didn't want me to live with anger and resentment and, you know, resentment or remorse or any of those things. So I went to therapy at about
How
15.
Was that? Here.
Yes.
Or there.
I started
here?
Therapy.
Here.
Which I was the best thing ever for me.
Here.
Yes. Because not only did I deal with my father, I started dealing with a lot of other things. You start, when you go to therapy, you start realizing there's other issues that you need to deal with.
Okay.
And so I started dealing with some things and started having a
Did
better...
Did you like the idea of therapy when your mother wanted you to go?
I was fine with it. I don't oppose it. I was open to
you
it.
You gave
completely.
Her, when she said, I want you
Absolutely.
To go, you were like,
And
okay,
she went
fine.
With me the first couple of times and then I started going by myself. And to this day, I love therapy. I'm all for it. I'm an advocate for it. I think it's great.
Okay.
Went to therapy, started having a much better relationship with my father, started talking about things. So the last couple of years of his life, we actually got really close. And... You know, I pretty much forgave him for a lot of things. I knew that he was, you know, he was the best dad that he knew how to be. My dad didn't have a dad growing up. There was no example there.
Just so people can follow
yes.
along. Because it's I hard know. For me to follow along.
It's a, my life is complicated.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of jumping around. And I'm
Sorry.
Trying to follow. It's okay. I just know.
Yeah.
Listeners don't. So you were born in Fall River, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Very proud of that. I know you are.
I am.
But you went back and forth between here in LA and
yes,
Massachusetts.
Yes, my mother and I moved back and forth between California and Massachusetts.
So when you found out your father was diagnosed with ALS,
I was here in California.
You were here in California.
And I was in high school by that point,
okay.
so I wasn't moving. I was done.
Right.
Was
okay, so you were
the
here.
End of me going back and forth, jumping around.
When he was going through those years,
yes.
did you often go back home?
I did. I spent a lot. Thanksgiving was really when I would go back.
Okay.
So I would spend Thanksgiving with him or the summers. I would spend time with him.
Would you stay with him or you
no.
just visit? You would just visit.
I would just visit. I would stay with my grandparents always.
And what was that like? The very first time you saw him after you knew?
I don't even remember. I really don't.
Okay.
It wasn't acknowledged. It wasn't like we talked about it. It was just... He was sick. I was spending time with him. It wasn't like a conversation. We never like really sat and talked about him dying or his condition or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would sit more with my stepmom and talk about stuff. But with my dad, we really just sat and like hung out and watched TV, watched movies, talked. My dad and I have like this connection, you know, oddly enough. We could look at each other and know what the other's thinking. We're so similar, my dad and I. But we understood each other. And at the end, I was okay with everything that happened.
So how did your relationship heal with you visiting or how did
I think
how,
just
how
real, just
to
going to therapy and talking about it. Number one, understanding who my father was another, you know, realizing that my father had me at 18 years old. He didn't have a father figure as an example. At that point at 18, he was the oldest of five kids, trying to help his mother raise these kids, you know, working hard, trying to make that money and hustling. I don't want to talk about his hustle. But it made me understand him a little bit more. And I think that had he had the opportunity to be here, I think he would have been a better father. I think he would have been a great grandfather. I think he just needed to grow a little bit and learn.
So when you say an opportunity, like, what do you mean?
Like, had
exactly?
he had the chance to be here now.
Okay.
I think things would have changed for sure.
Things would have changed.
Yeah.
So did you have conversations with your father about your relationship with him?
Tiny conversations here and there, not like in-depth conversations. We weren't like talkers.
You weren't talkers.
It was, yeah. It's not like my mom and I, we can sit and talk. It was just like, you know, I'm sorry for what I've done.
So a lot of
you know, I mean, he's even said that, you know, to my mom or my grandmother, you know, like, I'm sorry.
But did he ever say it to you?
Huh. I don't remember. I'm sure because there was a lot of, I don't know if he said the words, I'm sorry, but I know there was, remorse. Yes.
So a lot of your healing from what I'm hearing now,
yes.
it sounds like it came from therapy.
Yes.
and you were just able to cope and deal with the process. It helped. The therapy helped you with the process of that.
Yes, because I knew he was going to eventually not be here, and I really didn't want to let things go the way they, to let things go in a different, like my sister, for example, like they have not, well, she's not listening, so it's fine. But she did not deal with the situation the way I did. She didn't go to therapy. She doesn't talk about it to this day. He's not discussed. She and I can't even have a conversation about him.
She's handled it differently.
This is my half sister. She's a year older than me. But it's not discussed. She doesn't want to talk about him. She doesn't like him, I think. That's my opinion. I don't know. But there's a lot of anger there. And when he died that day, I'll never forget, when they were lowering the casket, like her emotions just, she lost it. She was screaming in tears. Like it was so difficult for her. Whereas, you know, I was consoling her. I was okay with it. I'm like, I understand. Yeah. You know, I wasn't upset that he passed. Yeah, I was sad because, you know, the future, you know, wasn't going to be there for certain things, but he was in a better place. You know, so, my dad couldn't walk. Right, he couldn't talk. He couldn't swallow food. Like it was a horrible position to be in. And ALS for 7 years is a very long time.
Right.
Most people go sooner.
Right. So before he passed, you were actually here when you found out, right?
I was here. I had just seen him. So it was Thanksgiving. I had spent Thanksgiving with him. I'd come home that weekend and then a few
days. And you said you knew that that was
I knew that was the last time I was going to see my dad. Absolutely. So, yeah. I remember pulling out of the driveway and just looking at the house and being like, that's the last time.
You felt it.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so you're here.
Yes.
And you get the news.
Yes. A week after I was there, yeah. December 6th.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't see you often cry, Frisa. So.
I'm not crying yet.
Okay, so you go back home for the funeral.
Yeah.
How?
There's the twist. Go ahead.
Sorry?
Go
ahead. What's the twist?
No, go ahead.
What?
No, go ahead. So I go home.
You go home for the funeral.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the first loss that you really, you know.
Yeah.
And your first loss is different than mine. Your situation's way different than mine.
I was prepared.
You know.
As prepared as I could be.
Right, right. Oh, thank you. So how are you feeling at the funeral?
Honestly, I can't even tell you. I don't remember. It was like a blur.
Yeah, mine was. I remember.
It was a bit of
things.
A blur. My mom was there with me, which can be dramatic because my mother and I never got along with his side of the family. My sister's mother was there. That's my mother and her never got along. So not only are we dealing with the loss, but we also might have drama. Not only that, at my dad's funeral, a little boy walks in that looks identical to my father, and I learned that I had a brother.
A younger brother.
A younger brother.
Which makes you the second.
The middle child.
Like me.
So yes, my father had three children, three different mothers, and I met my brother at my father's funeral.
Okay.
So there was a lot going on that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously. how are you feeling with all of this going on? And it sounds like you were able, because of your experience is a lot different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is not sudden. Yours is, you know, you knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling at that?
I think, like I've said earlier, I wasn't so, it's not that I was, you know, wasn't sad and upset and all that, but because I knew it was coming, I had prepared for it. I knew it was going to happen. And honestly, it was more like he should be at peace.
Mm. And you were 19.
I was 19.
And he was 39.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
Sorry? No, go ahead.
Do you feel you've were able to have closure with a lot of things? Do you feel things were still?
With my father, yes. I do feel like I have closure.
You do?
I do. I don't feel, I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I'm not mad at him for not being there at those times. You know, things come up and, you know, my mother will bring things up. My grandmother brought things up when she was around. But like, I don't feel bad about it. I'm not mad at him at all.
You're not mad at him?
No.
Understanding.
I'm understanding.
Of the situation.
I am.
And forgiving.
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat.
Mm-hmm. It is what it is. I can't change it.
Yeah, you cannot.
I'm not going to, you know, unlike my sister, like, I'm not going to ignore the fact that he, like, he existed. I talk to my kids about it. You know that.
Well, you've
we share those moments, and I don't not people, bring him up. Yeah.
Well, some people,
you know.
You're
I
able,
show them pictures.
You're able to
and,
deal
you
with
know.
Things. You deal with
I do.
Some things. I'm going to say everything. I'm going to give you all that credit.
I deal with things. But because of that, you know, this is kind of what our conversation is about today. Just has that, because of that experience, I handled death probably, you know, way more differently than you do. Like, to me, death happens. It comes, you know. Adrian and I, it's funny because Adrian and I have the same perspective on death.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Bryce kind of have the same perspective on death, which is interesting. But if you remember at your grandfather's funeral, Bryce took it really hard.
Yeah, he did.
Really hard.
Yeah, that was his first, I think.
That was his first. And he was just like, and it's not like he spent like all this time with him. It's not like they were best buds or like he had this relationship. He really took it hard. And he took Vivo, my grandmother, hard too. Adrian, you know, it's like, Adrian, are you okay? How are you doing? And to him, he's like such an old, he's like, everybody dies, mommy.
Yeah,
it's Adrian's, part of life.
Adrian's different, though.
He's so different. And that's kind of how I see things. Like, death's a part of life. It happens. You know, you just got to accept it.
Mm.
You know, different deaths probably affect me differently. Steph affected me differently.
Okay, so should we talk about Steph now?
Well,
or?
Do you want to talk about your
My situation? As far as what, the sudden versus
you lost your mother suddenly.
I did.
That was very unexpected.
Yes.
You weren't prepared for that. It was, you know, shocking. It was devastating. It was, you know.
Yeah, it was,
That's horrible. I mean, like, for me, I at least got to say goodbye.
Right. So I think it's, I mean, going back to your original question in the topic, how does it change you and how do you handle it? And does it change your perspective? I definitely feel that, with your first loss, I think, you know, if it's sudden versus something that you know is coming, I think it changes your perspective on things because you've had an experience way different than mine. Mm-hmm. And I think it's changed our outlooks on things.
Yeah, you don't like funerals and you don't like going to that stuff. And
I've gotten a little bit better. I don't like them.
No.
My situation, obviously spoken about a lot here on the show, but I was 19 like you.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was 39. It's the strangest thing. I remember it like yesterday. And I was playing the piano and my mom was leaving and I was playing. I had like 50 songs that I was practicing and playing and my mom was running out. She was late. And I just quickly glanced at her and said bye. She said bye. I love you. Blah, blah, blah. And left. And I called her. And, you know, it was around lunchtime. I wanted to. There was like a bagel left on the counter. And I remember calling her and asking her if I can have it. And she was like, I left it for you. And it was like one of those where you're about to hang up. But at this. But before you do, I was like, I love you. And she's like, oh, baby, I love you too. I remember it. And that was the last time I spoke to my mother. Went to my friend's house later that night because they were both, it was Patrick and our friend Aaron. They were leaving for college. It was a go-away party for them. So we went to Patrick's house and I stayed out late. It was like 12:31 and I was driving home. From Patrick's house, I was driving home, and I remember right when I got like to a certain area, I started thinking really strongly about my mom, and I was like, "I'm coming, mom, I'm coming home, I'm coming." It was the weirdest thing.
So you felt it almost.
I did. I mean.
Well, you're very intuitive.
I just, so. That really, and it's hard because it's like that, it used to be the Holiday Inn, that once, what is it, the Circular? Mm-hmm. It was around that area.
405.
Yeah. So went home, went to sleep, and got a phone call at 3 a.m. And.
Those are never good.
I was half asleep. I fell asleep and she called back and woke me up.
Your mom?
No.
Oh.
It was Don Bohannon's daughter. And she said there was an accident. You need to wake up. I'm calling. I remember I got Taj and I got TJ and Anthony was with us. And yeah, I remember that day. It was not fun. But we went to the hospital and I remember seeing the doctor. And we were asking where she was, and he said, "Your mother's dead." And that just, the whole night just felt
unreal.
Yeah. It just,
like a bad dream.
Yes. You know, I called Patrick, and Anthony was there, and I just didn't really, it just felt so unreal. From there, we went to Havenhurst, and just everything just felt unreal. Like I wasn't sleeping, I laid on the couch, everything felt so unreal. And you know, next thing, all the family at the house, and I remember we went from there, we went to New York. Mm-hmm. And because we went to go be with our Uncle Michael, and I just remember being in New York, driving to the hotel, I was looking for my mom. I was like, it's gotta be a mistake. So I was driving or riding in the car, and I was looking out the window, like looking for her. Like just seeing, you know, all these people mm-hmm. are walking around looking for her. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so different when you lose someone suddenly. Mm-hmm. And see, my relationship with my mother is a lot different than your relationship right, with their father.
She was with you every day.
Yeah. And we had a tight closeness. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of things. It's just so different, the experiences, and then a lot of other things start to come in with, you know, guilt.
Of course,
you start wondering if it could have been prevented.
Could you have done something?
All of these things.
I should have did this. Yeah. I should have said that.
Mm-hmm. And you don't get to say goodbye. You don't get mm-hmm. to say anything. You don't get to have that moment,
right?
You know,
I've had that moment,
and you almost feel like it's taken away from you. Not only do you lose the person, but that moment is taken away from you.
Right. So both my moments, I've had those moments where I was able to say goodbye. I think your next big loss in your life was your Uncle Michael.
Yes.
And in the same way, you lost him unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So again, your next loss was shocking and mm-hmm. unexpected. Mm-hmm. Whereas my next loss, I might have always been, Steph wasn't so much expected. You know, she went into the hospital. Steph was my best friend. I mean, I met her when I was 3 years old. So she was more like my sister. We were together every day, literally. She lived underneath me and I lived above. We were together every single day. That was totally my sister. But she had MS and she was sick for a long time with different things. But she went in to the hospital to have surgery on her heart. And they couldn't do surgery because everything was shutting down and we didn't know why.
Right.
So even though it was unexpected, like she's supposed to go in, have surgery and be okay and come through this even better, it was like everything was shutting down. Something else was wrong with her. And then, I mean, I had a couple days, but I still had a couple days to say goodbye.
Right. So you knew some, yeah.
Yeah.
You had that time.
I had that time. Like I FaceTimed, like she's in Florida and right. She was in Boston at the time, but I FaceTimed, and the one regret I have with that one is that I had a choice to go be with her, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to. I didn't want to see her in that state.
Right.
But I wish I would have.
Really?
Yeah. Because to me, that was a selfish thing. I didn't want to see her in that state, and I don't want to see her in the hospital. And, you know, the days before it happened, I had spoken to her. She was still mm-hmm. kind of there and, like, could talk to me. So I was able to, like, say what I need to say. But then when I saw her the day of, the morning of, she just looked.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was seeing her every day until it happened through FaceTime, but I just did not want to be there and see that. But if I think about it, like, she would have been here.
So you have a, you feel guilt.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But.
I do.
That's interesting.
I feel like it was selfish because she would have been there.
Do you think, but maybe she also would want you to do what's most comfortable for you at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, you know, at the time we had two kids. It's not like I could just leave.
Yeah. But,
you know, like her parent, her mother was like, you can't, you know, because we didn't know when it was going to happen, you know. It could have been 24 hours. It could have been a week. It actually was almost a week. You know, I can't just get on a plane and just, you know, it's not like when I was younger. I just can't get on a plane and leave for a week or two.
I wouldn't carry that.
But
because I think what's most important is that she knows how you felt and you were able to have that. And I don't think whether you were actually there present, I don't think that changes. I think you had the opportunity to speak to her and tell her what
for
you
sure.
wanted to say.
But I know she didn't want to die in that hospital. You know, we used to watch that movie Beaches. And it's funny because she'd always say, you know, of course she was, you know, Bette Midler, the wild one, and I was the, you know, the pretty upty whatever one, she would always say.
I've never seen the movie.
Oh my gosh, seriously?
No.
You got to see it. But that was pretty
much what happens, but
that was like our relationship, but at the end,
don't ruin it.
Everybody knows Beaches.
No, I don't.
But you know that there's a death.
Okay.
The end of the day, you know, Bette Midler goes and gets, you know, her friend. She's like, she doesn't want to die here. She needs to get out of the hospital.
Okay.
And I feel like I should have done that.
Really?
Like, I should have went and got her out of that hospital so she could at least die by the beach like she wanted. But when we would watch that movie, ironically, she would always say, you know, I'm going to go first. And I don't ever want to die in a hospital. You make sure.
So that's why.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand.
Yeah. But, you know, what makes me feel better is I don't think I'd have that power to do that anyways. Her parents had the power, you know.
Right.
So.
Very true.
That kind of comforts me a little bit, but.
Did you, you know what? Let's take a phone call.
Let's take a phone call.
I haven't even been looking. Sorry, guys.
Let's take a phone call.
Who's calling in to The Power of Love?
Hi, Tara. Hi, Brianna. This is Alicia.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling to talk about the topic.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my grandfather at an early age. I think it was around 7 or 8. I do have some memories of him, but not a lot. And growing up, I did have several deaths that I encountered. But I think the hardest one for me was my surrogate grandmother, who passed away on my 17th birthday. So that one hit me hard, as well as both of my actual grandmothers in the recent years. But I also don't really have a problem with death, because as someone that that has several chronic illnesses, I'm kind of, I don't want to say used to death, but I don't have a problem with death as a whole. Like, I'm kind of, okay, that just happened for a reason. So kind of in the same way that that Brianna was saying, okay, you know, death happens, but sometimes it does. Even with my grandmothers and surrogate grandmother, they still surprised me, even though I did see them prior to, so. It's kind of a different perspective, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like you're almost immune to it? Because I feel like I'm immune to it at this point.
Wait. Is it immune, or is it just knowledgeable or knowing how to handle it?
That's a good question.
I think it's like acknowledging it and knowing how to handle it, not necessarily immune to it. Maybe just immune to it as far as my death and knowing what I want as far as that goes, but when someone I love, you know, dies, it's, you know, it's just, okay, that's just a part of life.
Yeah.
And being close to them, that helps too. So if I feel like I've, you know, been there for them, and then it makes it easier to grasp.
Right. Right. I think a lot of it has to do, I mean, I don't think anyone is born and experiences death and knows how to handle it right away. I think there needs to be some type of experience. And I can speak for myself, you know, when I lost my grandfather, that was a different experience. And that was something where there was notice and you knew the situation wasn't good and it was coming. And that experience was a lot different than losing my mother and losing my Uncle Michael.
Right.
And I felt I was able, I felt,
that was still a very hard situation.
It was a
for
very
you.
Hard situation. It was different.
Because, can I share?
Yeah.
The when we got to your grandfather, because he was in Vegas and we mm-hmm. drove there, it took you.
It took me a while.
Maybe 24 hours to actually go in the room he was in.
Mm-hmm. It did.
You know?
It did.
Whereas I went in right away with the kids.
And I'll be honest, you know? I was, I was, and I think it's hard for me. I think it's hard. I think that has an effect, the very mm-hmm. first loss you have. I think it changes. It almost sets the tone for things coming. You know, if it's something where it's slow and sudden, they're both terrible.
Right.
You know, but you have a little bit, yeah, the way you process it, I think, is different.
Right. The way Do you agree with that? Do you agree with like the initial
first time you lose somebody?
Well, yeah, I do. But like I said, my first really initial was when I was around 8. So I don't really remember that. But when I got older, like I had seen Miss Mina, my surrogate grandmother, like maybe a week before, and I still wasn't prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And even with my father's mother, I had seen her 5 days before she passed because it was like Christmas and we weren't expecting it because my mother's mother was in the hospital prior to that. So we thought it would be her and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. She was as healthy as a horse back then. Well, right. Considering that when my grandma passed and then when my mom's mother did pass, we kind of weren't. We knew she was coming, but my aunt had passed away like exactly 2 months. Well, not exactly, but 2 months before that, who was her daughter. And she definitely wasn't expected, even though she was sick as well. So it depends on still, you know, the situation how close you are, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Those are great points. I agree with you. And it sounds like you've had a lot of loss. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But thank you for sharing.
Thank you for sharing.
Because I know it's not easy.
You're welcome.
We're going to. Is that another? Okay, we're gonna let you go, Alicia. Thank you so much for calling in, and we'll catch you next time. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. I missed that phone call, but.
What about tweets? Did you check that?
I'm keeping sorry. Up. I've been talking. Sorry, guys.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's I think the first time you really experience the one that you can really remember, mm-hmm. you know, I think that the one that affects you, you know, that you can remember and it's really the first one you're going through and you grieve. I think that sets the stage for how you deal with things.
I don't
going
know
forward.
My grandmother dying, that was such a different experience because I was there with her.
But you
that was
but
like,
you were given time.
I was given time.
You were given
but
time.
But I'm saying I don't think.
Have you experienced sudden?
Steph was probably the closest to sudden because she, like I said, she went in for one thing and then it was like we can't operate because her organs are like, why is her liver breaking down? Why is her kidney breaking down? Like something else is wrong. Like she was dying already. Like something else was wrong.
Okay.
You know? That's when we found out she had other illnesses.
Right.
We didn't know, but I still had time because I was able to say goodbye.
Right.
Even though it was a matter of a week,
right.
I still had that FaceTime call.
Mm-hmm.
I still spoke to
and
her.
That has a lot
you know,
to
I
do.
Spoke to her. I had a full-on conversation with her when she was in the hospital, thinking we didn't know she was going to die. You know, just like you're in the hospital, da da da. And then
I think that's completely.
You know.
I mean, I don't like any of it.
Complications.
But I
happen
think that I think you when. When you're notified or when you have time, I think it's a slower process. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think you're able to deal with it and grieve with it and handle it. It's like it's spread out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Versus something happening right away. And for me, the shock of it all and how sudden it is, I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't thinking of it. I wasn't planning for it, you know? So it just happened. And it's like, here you go. This is what you're dealing with in life now. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't prepared. I didn't expect it. I didn't know about it. So then from there, I just had triggers. Mm-hmm. I had triggers. I remember going to movies. So like anytime somebody died in the movie, you know,
it would trigger you
straight to my mom.
Wow.
Straight to my mom. We try to go. It's like, so now you're trying to get away from life and go see a movie. And anytime there's a death or a talk about death, it's like it leads me to a whole different way of feeling. Like now I relate differently.
Okay, but when your mother died, did you go see therapy? Did you seek therapy? Did you talk about it?
No, not like with a licensed therapist or anything, no.
I think that's a huge, huge help.
Mm-hmm. But you know
what? You kind of buried it almost.
We did. And you know what? You know what?
And that, I don't mean to cut you off, but because you all buried it, and knowing the three of you the way I do, it has affected you guys differently because it's never been discussed. You don't talk about it. You don't share your thoughts. Like, it's so kept in, you know, talking to somebody other than your partner, talking to a stranger and a therapist, I think helps immensely.
Our situation was a little different. And I think this made it even harder.
Okay.
I think this made it even harder for us because then it really hit us, or at least me, I should say. So when my mother passed, she passed in the middle of us recording our first album, mm-hmm. Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. So halfway through, we were recording. She passed away, and it was like our goal to finish that album. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it for mom and this and that. And when we released it and our single came out, like, things happened so fast for us. Mm-hmm. And our goal was to tour. Like, everything was to honor our mother. Mm-hmm. And then we received so much love from the fans that mm-hmm. it really did fill a void for us.
Right.
And it was a lot of love and a lot of support and just, you know, it was hard. It was hard being on stage because I remember just thinking about my mom and just wishing she was there to see all this. But at the same time, we were doing something that was making her proud,
right.
You know,
and you're also busy.
We were busy. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Takes your mind
we
off
had
of
all
everything.
Of that going for us. So all of that was going. And then come after the tour and the next few years after, that's where it really hit hard because all of that went away mm-hmm. because of all the other stuff that was going on with the industry,
right,
politics. But that's when it really hit home because now you're back at home. And we were coming back to a trial because remember, he was still free at this time. So now we came back to a trial. We had to face him. And ultimately we didn't. We pretty much had to deal with, I should say because I don't want to speak for my brothers. I had to deal with my mother's passing. Mm-hmm. And I had to do all of this. And because we weren't touring or we weren't out like we were before the previous years, the love from the fans wasn't as present. It was it wasn't right in your face. Mm-hmm. It was, support was there, but it was different. It was quiet. It was lonely. So all of that affected me. And it was a harder fall. Mm-hmm. So that's what made it difficult. So
sadly, you guys have to deal with it all the time too. It hasn't gone away.
And that's the other thing.
You know, you guys every 2 years have to go deal mm-hmm. with him.
But even and that's another like a situation
constant
that
that's a constant reminder. You guys, I mean, do you want to tell the audience so they know what we're talking about?
Yeah, they know. There's a parole. But
so every 2 years there's a parole hearing mm-hmm. for his release and we have to go and speak. So during that hearing, though, everything's brought
up. And you have
to
see him.
And you have to see him.
And you relive it.
And you're really close to him. Like, I went one time. I don't
know. You're like 10 feet away.
I don't want to go again because I just.
But it was also different.
I don't know how you handle that. Like, I would.
It was also, the passing of my mother was also different because when she passed, mm-hmm. because of how she passed.
Yes.
And because of who, the name and all that.
It was very public.
It was very public. So I remember being. You know, whether I was laying down on a couch at my grandmother's, I just remember. It's like everywhere you try to escape it, like
it was there.
So like if you're watching television, coming up on Channel 7 or on the hard copy,
yeah.
But, you know, and it's like you want to look because it's your mom.
You
see a picture of your mom, you want to look, but you don't want to see.
You were faced with it all the time. Whereas, like, for me, once I left Rhode Island and dealt with the funeral, I left and came back to California. I didn't really have to deal with it again because to me, it's like, well, he's just back in Rhode Island and I don't have to face that till I go back, you know? And I didn't go back for a minute. You know, when I do go back, it's, you know, I always go visit. It's my first stop. So I go to the cemetery, you know, and that's my way. That's, you know, how I deal with it. But being here in California, it was like, I didn't really have to really acknowledge it because I went back to my life. I went back to the way things were and it wasn't in my face so much. Same thing with Steph. Steph lived in Florida. So I'm here in Cali. She's just in Florida. It's those moments where, like, you know, I want to pick up the phone, call her, or like something. And then it triggers you when you're, I can't make that call. You know?
Yeah.
So it's very different.
Yeah. I think for me, I'll speak on me. It's, I wasn't prepared for it. And because of that, and because of the type that it was being sudden and me not being prepared, it changed me because now, not that I loved funerals before, I really didn't like funerals because like it triggered my loss, my pain. The last time I was at a funeral was my mom. Like it, it took me back to that moment every time. And for that reason, I didn't know how to deal. I still struggle with it, but I didn't know how to deal with death and I avoided it. And I later learned that it was bad and selfish of me, not trying to be selfish, but that was just me not wanting to deal with it, that I wasn't there for friends.
Like me.
Like you. I wasn't. We can talk a little bit. Like when you lost your grandfather, I wasn't.
Yeah. So when I lost my grandfather, we all went. I had gone to Boston a week before he passed. And I took Adrian because he had not met Adrian yet. And my grandfather had dementia. So when we got, he knew we were there, but he didn't know we were there. And I think he was aware of Adrian for like 2 seconds, you know. He was like, oh, the new baby, and then he went back to not knowing who we were. So anyways, but he did pass, and you did not fly out with Bryce. And I was so mad at you.
I found
every excuse. You did not come out, and that definitely put a dent in our relationship because I was like,
yeah, I wasn't there for you.
Yeah,
I wasn't there for you.
That did not, especially because my grandfather was like, he was more my father than my father. So that was like a tremendous loss for me, even though I knew it was coming. Like that was, you know, my grandparents dying was awful for me. Like that was, those are my parents. Like they're everything. They were my world.
What? It's again, selfish.
But you couldn't handle that.
I couldn't. And you know what's funny? I really did like your grandfather.
Wasn't he awesome? He was so awesome.
You know,
awesome.
I keep his ashtray.
Oh my God. Sink. His ashtray.
It was outside on the
side.
It was outside for the longest time. And I would not move it. I left it there because that was his and I left it there.
That is so crazy. I know. That was there until like this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know where it is now?
No.
You don't?
No.
When we get home, look on my sink.
On your sink?
Mm-hmm. My watch is in there.
Really?
Yep. I moved it.
Yeah, he was pretty. He was pretty awesome. He was very different than my grandmother.
Yeah.
Very, very different. He was just we always call him the gentle man. You know, he was a gentle man. Like he was just easygoing.
And he didn't speak English.
And he never spoke English. I don't know how y'all communicated.
But it was with the smile. It was just like,
with
everything going on, all the craziness, I would look at him with all the yelling and all that.
Smile.
And he would just smile like, hey,
no
man,
teeth.
That's how it goes. This is how it goes in this family.
He would never wear his dentures.
Yeah. But,
he was awesome.
So,
he was great. He was a good guy. I always say that's the best example I had as a man. And no one could ever live up to that to that man because he was just so incredible. He was awesome.
But going back to how you handle it, I think this show actually has helped me. We're going to wrap up pretty soon. I think this show has obviously helped me because now I have more tools. I've made a lot of mistakes because I wasn't able to cope with things. Like, for instance, your situation, not being there for you. But it's interesting. Like I try to avoid it. Like I did not want to go to Vegas. It's like I knew I had to.
No, you didn't. I forced you.
And you know, my father's the same way. He didn't.
I remember.
And I was happy he went.
I told you to talk to him. Get him there.
He's the same way. I'm very much like my father. I noticed in certain areas. But, you know, it was Bryce there. It's funny because you learn so much from your children.
Yeah.
But it was really Bryce that helped me. Bryce has helped me through so much. But the way he handled it, like I never... Like, even at the funeral, he wanted to go up and see Grandpa.
Yeah, you didn't want to go to the casket.
I didn't want to, but Bryce is going, so I got to be there for Bryce. And I was like, I was happy I did, you know? But yeah, I think with time, when you experience it, you start to get these tools and you learn how to cope with it. It's never easy.
Yeah, so I think a couple of things that are really important is that you have to actually address your emotions.
Yes.
And deal with the things that come with it. Express yourself to other people. Talk about it. Whether it's a therapist, a friend, family member, talking about it is really going to help you get your feelings
communicate.
Out. Communicate it.
So just make sure, don't avoid it.
Don't avoid it.
Don't hold it in. These are all things I did.
Yeah.
Whether I knew I was doing it or not. Don't hold it in. Talk about it. Communicate. Go to therapy. I recommend that.
I love therapy. Another thing is find creative outlets where you can express yourself. Mm-hmm. Write a poem. Write a story. Write music.
I did music a lot.
You do music. Draw, paint. You know, anything that will express your feelings and your emotions. Put it down on paper. A journal.
Yeah.
You know.
All tools to help you.
Yeah.
Definitely. We're gonna wrap up. But for more information about DDJF, you can go to www.ddjf.org and you can find links on there, I'm sure, to help you with dealing with loss and grief. Any final things, Bri? Thanks for opening up.
That was a good conversation.
Yeah, it was. It was very good. We'll continue.
At home?
I guess.
To be continued?
But yeah, thanks for opening up and sharing. I know you don't open up all the time.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. All right, that wraps up our show for today. We will catch you guys next week, same time, same place.
Same place.
Take care. Have a good week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.